You're listening to a 9to5.cc podcast.
Hey everyone, welcome to Go Plug Yourself. We've been talking to awesome people in Montreal since 2011. Just a friendly reminder that if you're going to be buying anything on Amazon.com, Amazon.ca, or Zazzle.com, go to 9to5.cc first and click the links at the bottom or in the sidebar so that we get a bit of that money. Also follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, and enjoy the show.
Go plug yourself. You plug and mother plugger. Go plug yourself.
Usually I wait for you to nag me about the fact that we need to do another one. And by nag me, I mean, you know, remind me once.
Usually
I'm like, oh, I'll get around to booking a guest when Keith reminds me that we need to do another episode. But like, the fact that I was actually like, shit, when's Keith going to remind me to do an episode?
When's Keith going to call me for an episode?
Feels like it's been a while. But I guess we just did a couple close together.
Yeah, we did a couple. We banged a few. And
you
then
crippled Sarah in Mexico. Right. Now it's time to do another episode.
As it did.
Okay.
And then, I think Mexico. We banged a few so that I could easily go to Mexico.
Sounded like you said we banged a few so I could go to Mexico.
Yeah, we banged a couple out.
Yeah.
Rubbed them out, and then we banged them in.
But today, our guest is Shane Adamczak.
He's entering canon. He's only ever existed in this show as a fringe guest.
Which is not to say
less than
on the fringes.
But as one of several
guests in one of our annual fringe specials.
Right.
Shane, say hello.
Hi.
Welcome back to the show, Shane.
Bring your mic a little closer. Yeah, there you go.
How's that? That's better?
So you could almost taste it. Okay.
Yeah. So you can smell the breath of the previous.
And I got exciting news for you, Shane. You are our first guest on since Go Plug Yourself was officially crowned, if you will,
ooh,
Montreal's number three podcast.
Hey!
Number three. Cult Montreal's absolutely scientific best of Montreal
amazing
poll. Thank exactly you.
What an honor.
Shane, for this honor that
I bestowed to you.
Yeah.
I was going to say, they don't actually...
We could have had anybody on.
Yeah. The phones started ringing.
Yeah.
When we
want to be on number three.
People were like, yeah. Walter Naysay is the number three a little bit, because he's like, I guess we voted and our girlfriends voted, and that got us number three. But I don't think so, because I think us and our girlfriends have voted from previous years, and we were never number
three. We should have...
Yeah, for sure.
We should have the Cult Montreal people on.
Yeah.
And get a bunch of drinks in them and find out how many votes there were.
Yeah. Well, like I said, I feel that we're a respectable three. We're a respectable three behind Radio Cannon, formerly Midnight Puts In.
Sure.
And Edge of the City, number two.
Well, hey, that's
so
pretty good,
like,
guys.
I feel that those people take their jobs a lot more seriously than we do.
And I, you know, I'm not from here, and I've heard of all of those podcasts, which means I guess they're kind of big ones,
and now you're
right
on this one.
And now I'm here.
So
this is amazing.
Maybe come back again next year on the podcast.
When we'll be number
one. We'll be number one.
Hey, cool.
That's the goal. So, yeah, Shane, you've been on the show before, but on a Fringe Festival, you shared the microphone with Elizabeth Blue.
Yes.
That was two Fringes ago. That was Fringe 12.
Having an odd sense of deja
fringe
vu.
Fringe 012.
Having an odd sense of deja vu.
Yeah, a little bit. Do you know why? Do you know at work they actually say 012 and 013 and 014? I work for a railway company.
It's technically right.
Sort of, yeah. And the reason for it is that I work for the railway. And
since when?
For a while. I work for CN. Anyway, and 12 means 1912.
Oh.
So there are like some things that they talk about. If you're like, this rail was laid in 12, they're talking about 1912.
Fair enough, because I guess the railway's been there.
How often
for
does that come
long
up in conversation, though?
It doesn't, but it's still like a...
How often do your coworkers talk about century-old train delays?
But if they say a new yard built in 11, or a yard that's say built in 011 to say that the yard got built.
Why would they be talking? Why would they be talking
not
about?
103 years.
Why would they?
Sounds like a real laugh riot working at the railway.
Why would they be
it's
talking
the
about
best.
That?
So much red tape.
I don't see why they would be talking about that though.
When you're talking about dates though.
Yeah, I realize. You know so what they're trying to do. It's, I don't see why anybody would actually be talking.
Because there are train yards that have been around for hundreds.
I understand
years.
That, but why would they be talking about those?
It just fucking happens, man. It's a standard. This episode is off to a roaring start. If I'm a listener, I'm fucking jazzed.
Do you ever get to go on one of those, like, ye old timey things you see, like, in the Warner Brothers cartoons on the railway where it's two guys, you know, with the pump and
that's my
Keith, what are those
thing?
Called? What are those called?
What
you
are
work,
those
work for
called?
The railway. What are, what's
you
that
know,
called?
Just the two guys and they got the seesaw thing and I'm like,
the hell
going
kind
on
of
the
railway
track.
Employee are you?
Literally said this
everybody knows what I'm talking about.
A push cart thing.
Is it a push
like the Roadrunner and Coyote. And
yeah.
This was
Chris, what's the name of one of those train things, you know, where you get the hobos and they push the things back and forth and it sort of pushes them along the rails?
It's that, but with hyphens between.
But with hyphens
oh,
between.
Right.
Okay, thanks, Chris.
Straight on.
You
straight
say
on.
It faster.
Yeah.
And more old-timey. And then leave, what do you call it, hobo notches on it.
Do you guys know what the name is of the thing you put under a hot pot on a table? Wow.
Ooh.
Did you know that?
I didn't,
good
but now
Keith,
know.
You and you give it, take a swig of beer for
yeah,
that one.
Yeah, prize for Keith.
Swig of beer for the well-spoken
Shane,
man.
Shane, why are you here?
I think it's tidbits of information like that got you guys the number three
so.
Spot. That's
I think
how it
so.
Happened.
It's our tight knit formula.
Yeah, you don't hear that on Edge of the City
no.
or Midnight Ship.
And the editing too. I think
we talk a little bit about our jobs. Give you a definition of something. Yes, it's a trivet. You can have a cork trivet. You can have a knit trivet.
Why do you know that?
What?
Is that from like an English mom?
Yeah.
Probably.
My mom would be like,
yeah.
It's tea time.
Get the trivet,
it's
Keith!
It's tea time.
Oh,
make
Keith!
Make sure there's a trivet on the table.
Get a trivet!
That's my mom.
Yep.
My mom had me when she was 84.
Yeah.
Oh,
she was very old.
Keith!
She sounds like she works in an evil orphanage or
exactly.
something.
And also calls you Keith.
She smoked pipes.
Yeah.
Keith! Come down here!
You kids, stop playing on the stairs!
Exactly.
Yeah.
My mom did once tell me that gay people don't get chocolate cake. That is an actual
wow.
quote from my mom.
Wow.
I was on the phone with my friend Mark, and she's like, who are you on the phone with? And I'm like, my friend Mark. And she's like, are you gay for Mark? And I said, yes, Mom.
What?
I'm gay for Mark. My mom was
what?
Just, like, baiting me. And then she was
what
like...
What do you mean? How is? Wait a minute.
What?
What do you mean she was baiting you?
She was just being a
she's, like,
bitch.
Busting balls?
Yeah, she was, like, busting balls. Like, yeah.
Are you gay for Mark? Are you gay for Mark?
You crazy whippersnapper gay for
Mark? And I was like,
Mark?
Yes, Mom, I'm gay for Mark. And she's like, well, that's good, because I just made chocolate cake, and gay people don't get chocolate cake.
Wow.
Actual quote from my mom.
Number three.
So Shane is doing a show.
Shane's here.
Presumably that's
first
why
of all,
he's here.
Welcome back in Canada, Shane.
Oh, look, it is so good to be back.
When'd you get back
mind,
here?
You never left.
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't think I've seen you since the last podcast,
exactly.
really, so it's in many
my
ways...
In my mind, he was gone forever, Keith, because that's what it felt like.
Last time I saw you, you were hosting 13th Hour, actually, at Last Fringe.
Ah, yes, that is true.
So,
But no, I went back to Australia for a couple of months for my brother's wedding and for a bunch of other projects, but now I'm very glad to be back.
Did you visit Steve Irwin's grave?
I did not. I do not even know. I assume it's in Queensland somewhere.
Is there a monument?
You know what? I don't think so. Probably at a zoo, there probably is, I assume, probably a plaque or something somewhere, but
yeah.
I don't know. I haven't particularly been following
right next
his career.
To don't pet the animal sign.
Exactly, yeah. I haven't been following Steve Irwin's career much since he died.
Well, it's
really.
And then it came to an abrupt end.
Yeah.
That's.
I was reading a list today of 10 actors who have died on set. And he was one of them. I'm like, that doesn't really count.
Was he being?
Well,
filmed?
I guess it was filming.
It
was filming.
It was an acting though. It was like a documentary series.
And to
it was
be fair,
a nonfiction series.
I feel like he was
yeah.
always kind of acting.
I don't think so. I think had he been acting, he wouldn't have died.
No, I know, but I mean, he was putting on an act.
Again.
So you're saying that like Owen Hart didn't die acting?
So Shane.
That sounds like an edit point. It's absolutely
yeah.
not.
So we're back here on
yeah,
the...
So we're back. When did you get back here? How long have you been back in town?
Look, I've been back for about 3.5 weeks.
You're back for 3.5
now.
Weeks.
Yeah.
And boom, you come back, and then it's like, and it's right, and you mount this one-man show.
Yeah, I hit the ground running. I came back, I did 3 nights, completely jet-lagged at mainline of all my Zach Adams solo shows over 3 nights, and then went straight in rehearsals for Trampoline, which is a show I'm doing now, which is actually it's a three-hander black comedy, romantic comedy play that I wrote.
Now, which Zach Adams solo shows are we talking about here?
Okay, so the ones that I did Complete History of Zach Adams, Zach to the Future, and Love Songs for Future Girl.
So that Zach Adams character is maintained through those three pieces?
Yes.
So the Zach to the Future, because I only actually saw Zach to the Future.
Oh, okay.
I'm sorry if that makes me a bad person.
No, that's okay. Just arguably, you've seen the worst of the three
I
just talked about. Well, that's good. I'm glad.
Do you think it's the worst of the three, or is that just critics?
Maybe that's just... No, critics quite liked it, but just personally, I think it's not... I mean, I'm not saying it's a bad show.
Here's the thing,
it's
though.
It's just not the strongest of the three.
Yeah, exactly.
If you got it bad, I don't think it'd be like, let's remount this.
Yeah,
let's
bring it back.
Somehow, this shows you where I'm at, or my attention span. I'm only now understanding that character was, in fact, carried over from other pieces.
Wow. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he's there's actually been four shows.
The piece worked. On its own.
Yeah, well, that's how I designed all the shows. That they would, you know, they were part of the, you know, Zach Adams canon, if you want. But also, they were individual stories that worked by themselves. Which is why I managed to get away.
Sort of like you're like the fringe equivalent to the Man with No Name.
Yeah.
From the Sergio Leone.
Anyway, I was going to say Shaft.
Or Shaft. Sure.
Shaft works too.
Or James James Bond.
Zach Adams Goes to Africa.
Yeah.
That's
exactly.
The next one.
Yeah. Zach Adams Goes West.
Please make Zach Adams Goes to Africa.
Sure.
That's the next step. Zach Adams Goes to Africa.
Zach Adams, you sucker.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Exactly. I'm going to Zach Adams, you sucker.
I was back in the Sergio Leone trilogy.
Mm-mm.
A Fistful of Zach Adams.
Ooh.
That sounds filthy.
Yeah. I don't know how I could sell that, but who knows? Yeah. People go for it.
Fringe, man. You're fine. You're set.
Yeah, that's true.
I keep marketing Zach. Shane's products for him. Remember when I came up with that killer promotional poster idea for your show?
What was the killer promotional?
We were talking about it. We were gonna make the two separate posters because it was really.
Oh yes, yes, yes. That's good. I don't know if we can talk about that.
Coming up with all kinds of titles for you and stuff.
It's killer. It is a killer idea.
So you want you to have me around constantly?
That's right.
So what's gonna happen, Walter?
No, I don't know.
Is it gonna involve a flipboard?
That's
a very long list.
That's all Walter territory.
Flipboard comedy is Walter. Walter's one of Montreal's
flip chart.
Flip premier flip chart comedians.
Cool. Very cool. That's really big in Australia right now. I'll tell you.
Flip chart comedy.
For real. Yeah. People love a flip chart.
Did you steal my flip chart, gamer?
Hey, I've never done a flip chart.
Yeah. No, I only do flip charts.
That's all.
Because you can't work PowerPoints.
That's cool, man. It's old school. Good stuff. But yeah, it's really it's good to be back.
So the show that Trampoline
is the show that's on right now.
I was like, I know you're saying trampoline, but because of your accent, I feel like it's about trampling.
Trampling. It's
like
just about
trampled.
Just riots and herds of cattle.
Yeah,
and the people that are involved.
People
with
getting
them.
Trampled. It's a very large cast.
Yeah,
the poster is a gasoline canister being held by a prostitute.
Oh.
Tramp-Oline.
Ooh.
Yeah, exactly.
That's clever.
She's like, I gotta think, what's like the tagline being like,
the worst fucking show. Let's see, how do we get number three?
Trampoline, where it's like, too hot to hold.
why don't you actually, because you do have one left. There is one. What's the date? What's the date this Friday?
We have two. If you go, this episode is going to come out Thursday morning. You said you have one Thursday.
So there's one on Friday and Saturday.
Oh,
if you'll listen to this when the podcast came out,
which
even Keith doesn't blow it.
Spike of listens is actually on.
Well,
on the day
check it out Friday the 16th and Saturday the 17th at Mainline Theatre Trampoline. It's been going well. I mean, we've been up against the hockey a couple of nights.
Mm.
So obviously, you Canadians love your hockey. Which is amazing. That's
what
cool.
Do you mean, you Canadians?
Oh! Ooh. No, actually, I went to a game last night. I went and enjoyed it very, very much.
You went to the hockey game last night?
I went to a bar and watched it with a big group of people.
We're like, how'd you get tickets?
Yeah, well, I wanted to, and people were like, oh, yeah, do you
those
have
sweet Fringe connection?
$600?
So I believe the Fringe Festival owns a box.
A lodge.
A lodge, yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Absolutely.
Yeah, they share it.
You want to know where those administrative fees go to?
All those sweet, sweet fringe hookups.
So are you a hockey fan at all, or are you like, do you know the rules? Or
I do. Yeah. I mean, I used to play roller hockey back in Australia. We don't really
Did
have
you say roller hockey.
Yeah, because we don't really have much of an ice hockey scene in Australia.
Who does?
We used to have a roller hockey team.
Yeah. So it's yep. My favorite sport, man. It's the best.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Crazy.
Ice hockey or roller hockey?
Ice hockey.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Were the rules of roller hockey at all different?
That's pretty much the same, except there's no ice.
I think there's a couple. Like the offsides are different or something. Like I don't know.
And it's been a while since I've actually played it.
The core rules are the same, but there's some like weird variations.
You still play with sticks?
Yeah, you still play with sticks. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Obviously, like in Australia, you have one team of humans, one team of kangaroos.
There it is.
Yeah.
Exactly. All right. Yeah. Are the kangaroos also on
now? Do you play Australian rules roller hockey? Because I understand that your version of football is quite a bit different.
Yeah, football is very different. I was trying to explain it to someone last night. I don't really follow the Australian rules football that well, but I mean,
I know of Australia.
Walter and I,
it's
once
very different.
Got really drunk on the annual Go Plug Yourself. the Go Plug Yourself Lake George retreats. And we were, it was like 2 o'clock in the morning and some Aussie Rules strip football came on and we were just not figuring it out. It seemed that the referees were also playing against the players.
Yeah, it's a very strange sport. Basically, the goal, you've got 4 sticks, kick it between the middle sticks, you get 6 points, you kick it between the side sticks, you get 1 point.
Yeah, and it's like a large oval almost with the ends cut off, kind of. Like it's not a square, right? Or it's not a rectangle, I should say.
The field or the ball?
The field.
Yes.
The field has curves on the side. It's like an oval with the tips cut off.
No, it's a full oval, but there's certain sections that are like...
square,
you know, like, you know, like the D in basketball kind of thing.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
And like I said, the one thing that I recall every time is that when the ball went out of play and the officials picked it up, the direction that they threw it in seemed random. They were like, hey, fuck you, now it's going the other way.
Yeah, and they throw it backwards as well,
yeah,
like
exactly.
Over their head.
And they're just like, you know, like, and the other teams are like, well, fuck. And I also love, like... 2 people collide into each other, fall down, hurt, play just continues. They're like, like badly bleeding.
Oh, yeah.
No whistle, no anything. You're like, don't stop, play.
Just keep going.
Get up, rules. Yes. So,
I have an important update.
What's an important update?
So the railroad thing we were talking about before.
Oh.
it could just be called a hand car.
Okay.
Hand car. Alternately, maybe it gets better. Alternately known as, hold on, wait for it. As a pump trolley.
Ooh,
pump trolley?
That sounds about right.
Pump.
Oh, okay, that's less
pump
cool.
Trolley.
I heard
pump
trolley, and I was like,
a pump car.
Pump car.
A jigger.
Ooh.
No, it's not. That is not a jigger.
Yep. A Kalamazoo.
Ooh, hello.
Or Draisine. Draisine.
Draisine.
Powered or unpowered.
Draisine, that's Beyonce's husband, isn't it?
No, that's jigger. That's jigger.
Harsh. No, to me, a jigger was a manually operated forklift that you pumped up.
No, jigger? No, yeah, but I know why you're saying that.
Because
I know what you're talking about. I worked in a Home Depot,
and you call
and
it a jigger.
The French dudes specifically refer to it as le jigger.
Yeah.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, I worked in warehouses and stuff,
yeah.
And it was that.
You can move anything with those things. Those things are cool.
They're the best. And if you can kind of flip them around and use them as sort of scooters when you're, like, going... use
yep.
them, I suppose, backwards, and you, like, skate them. And you're like, yay!
Did you ever work in a warehouse, Shane?
I did, and I've used, we call them pallet jacks, the thing you guys are
same we're talking
about.
Yeah, the
same deal.
Same deal, yeah.
You're riding backwards, super fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And because you got the 2 forks, right, you can
yeah.
use the middle to really
yeah.
get
yeah,
some speed
exactly,
up there.
Yeah.
I think I ever ended up, did I do that? I don't know.
If you didn't do that, you're missing out.
Yeah, especially if you ever had a chance to ride one of the electric ones.
Oh, no.
Man.
We needed, like, a special, like, license.
Yeah, but if you were just out the back by yourself and...
those
look
fun.
You knew you had a clear 5 minutes.
On those.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, it was, like, the warehouse that I used to work in, we had a number of jiggers, and...
it'd be great if, like, somebody didn't listen to the podcast until now, and then it's, like, tuned back, and it's like, the place I used to work, we had a number of jiggers that worked there. It's like, what?
And we also had the forklift, and the forklift truck, which I guarantee you needed some sort of certification, but it was always, like, I think, like, 2 people had it, and it was always too much of a hassle to, like, wait for those 2 people to do it, so
yeah,
there was always
yeah.
a bit of a, like, I'm gonna drive it.
I hope Steve doesn't come in.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like, there's, like, a huge pallet full of stuff or whatever else like that, and you're like, oh, my God, we have to, like, wait 20 minutes for Steve or just do it ourselves
yeah.
and shut the fuck up about it.
and just really hope that nothing goes wrong.
If something goes terribly wrong, we are super liable.
Yeah, but keep in mind, this was like at a Home Depot where there's like customers walking around and shit. Yeah. So yeah, you'd absolutely.
This for us was 4 o'clock in the morning at a shipping warehouse.
All I was ever allowed to do was hold the little flags in front of it to get people the fuck out of the way.
Oh
did,
yeah.
Did you act like you were the guy in Top Gun? What was that? That's the Top Gun song. That's not Danger Zone. Do you know what I'm talking about, Shane?
I know the bit. I don't remember the
Shane,
song.
tell us about trampoline.
Trampoline.
That's another edit point. Shane, tell us about trampoline. Going too hot to hold.
So it's a play that I wrote. It's sort of like my alternate take on the romantic comedy. It's about these two really weird characters. One who's called Matt, who I play, who's this really strange dreamer. He has these dreams that constantly like manifest into reality, and he really finds it hard to talk to people in the real world because he's just so strange. And he meets this sort of manic pixie dream girl called Kelly, and they're just two very awkward, strange characters, and they have this weird, awkward courtship.
Yeah. So he's, if this is spoilers, don't tell me, but is Kelly real, or...
Why would you ask?
He just makes her up in his head. And I didn't know if he was, like, laying something on top of Kelly, or if Kelly was a full figment of his imagination.
I don't want to say too much, but other people's have... Yeah, people have found different interpretations on the character. So, yeah.
Okay. That was all I really didn't want any spoilers.
And who's in the play with you?
So it's myself, a lovely lady called Stevie Pemberton, who I performed alongside in Rocky Horror a few years back, and a guy called Vance Gillis, who's one of Montreal's best improvisers.
Which rendition of Rocky Horror were you in?
I was in the one 2 years ago at Mainline.
At Mainline, okay.
Yes.
So in the Rocky Horror show?
Yes.
Yeah. Who did you play?
I played Brad.
Nice.
Brad Majors, which was a lot of fun. I went straight from that role into playing Johnny Rotten in Vicious Circle, so it was a bit of a big jump. It was a lot of fun, though.
But firmly rooted in the 80s.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
It was a big jump.
But still within the same time period.
Late 70s, early 80s. What now? Yeah. What was that look? Talking about Rocky Horror.
Rocky Horror is early 70s. Late 70s.
And so was Sex Pistols, technically. Bollocks came out in 80s.
So you're wrong both ways.
Late 70s, early 80s. In terms of their cultural impact and physical aesthetic. Similar aesthetics. There's leather in both of them.
Yeah, that's true. Absolutely.
Very different characters, though.
Yeah, absolutely. But yeah, so that was a lot of fun.
So,
so runtime on the play.
Sorry?
What's the runtime on
It runs at about 55 minutes to an hour.
I like it.
Yeah.
Did you write it in Australia?
I actually wrote it here.
Did you write it in Australian or English?
It's written in Australian English. I wrote it here in Montreal just over a year ago, and we did the first read-through at Mainline before I took it to Australia. And we debuted it in October last year.
Okay.
Back in Western Australia, and now this is making its Montreal debut.
So this has been audience tested in Australia.
Yeah, absolutely. But I did obviously Stevie and Vans are both Montrealers, so they're new to the show.
Okay.
I've reprised my role, and they've taken up new roles, which is very exciting.
That makes sense.
Yeah. And
do you have any formal training as a thespian or playwright or?
Yeah, I did a course at WAPA, which is the West Australian Academy of Performing Arts.
WAPA?
Back in Western Australia, yeah. That's where Hugh Jackman went.
It's called WAPA?
Yeah, WAPA. WAAPA.
Oh, okay.
Not as in with cheese.
I thought it was like WHOPP.
Pronounced the same.
Like yeah, but chocolate. Pronounced the... Oh, right, yeah.
What was... My brain is fucking undone. In the film War
so,
Games,
that was
the computer
that
was also called Whopper, but not.
Oh right.
And was that like a degree you got there?
Yeah, so I've got a Bachelor of Arts in Theatre Arts, which is like my course was like basically about learning how to produce and write your own theatre and act in it as well.
So you're applying that.
Yeah.
So you're doing what you study.
Yes.
So that's why if I don't miss my mark, when I was watching a 13th Hour show and I saw Walter freewheeling and doing what he does, and then you being a very consummate professional, being like, let's get the next people on, let's keep the show rolling. You were not just doing that to try to keep Walter in line. You were like, oh, I've gone to school for this. Keeping a show running is fucking...
Also, to be fair, I was probably really drunk.
Oh, man. There was a few nights we were all pretty drunk at that show. More than one occasion.
What I was saying is you were a consummate professional.
Well, yeah, so thank Walter's you. I appreciate that.
Freewheeling.
The freewheeling Walter.
Walter's more sort of just a rogue element.
Yeah, I go rogue, you know, go into business for myself.
Now, were you taught any courses by Hugh Jackman?
No, he had well and truly had left by the time
did
I was there.
Did he give some sort of, what do you call it, the
inside the
commencement speech?
No, probably my closest real-life interaction is like just the poster of him that's hanging in the foyer from when he was in a production of Sunset Boulevard. That's
Sunset Boulevard?
Yes.
Did Mel Gibson teach you motorcycle riding?
No, he didn't. Well, that would be interesting. No, Mel Gibson actually didn't train there. He trained in the eastern states.
Is Jeffrey Rush your father?
Yes, I believe.
Jeffrey Rush, is Jeffrey Rush, in fact, Australian?
Yes, he is. Yeah.
Sam Neill?
Yep, Australian. So that's pretty good. You're 3-3.
Nicole Kidman.
Yeah, well, yeah, she is Australian.
Yeah. Baz Luhrmann.
Yes.
Awesome.
Yep.
Keith, your turn.
Shit.
Keith, go.
One for one, so it's a knockout round. Who can name Australian actors or directors?
Oh, my God. I'm running low. I'm fucking tapped. Well,
you're missing some big ones.
No. I'm missing fucking Crocodile Dundee is who I'm missing.
Yeah.
But I can't fucking get his fucking name.
Paul Hogan.
Steve Irwin.
Shit.
Who are we missing?
Well, Russell Crowe.
Damn.
That's a big one.
Yeah.
Guy Pearce.
Pretty well known Australian.
Hugo Weaving.
Eric Banner. Or as I like to call him, the worst Hulk. In my opinion.
I like him as what's the prison movie? Where he's a crazy prisoner and it's like this weird cult movie and he's like ripped and stuff.
I don't think I've seen it.
It's great, and it's like, and he plays like a British gangster or something.
You're thinking of Ed Hardy.
No, it's a similar
kind. By Ed Hardy, I mean Tom Hardy.
Which is the other thing.
Tom Hardy was in that film where
Prison
he plays
movie.
The crazy gangster.
Yeah, this is a similar kind of deal.
Okay.
I can't help you. I do not know the answer.
Anyway.
Why don't you know the entire filmography of every Australian
actor? I know, right?
Why is this not a thing?
You ever seen a movie called Stone?
Bronson. Bronson is the film with Tom Hardy. Still not what you're thinking of, but the film is Bronson.
No, but it's a motorcycle film, right?
Yes,
I haven't seen it. I know
amazing.
Of it. Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Have you seen the film...
you're listening to Have You Seen?
Now, welcome to the Have You Seen segment.
Stone is an Australian
I had a
cult motorcycle gang film
so
from the 70s.
So is... cult Australian horror film, The Howling. Or The Howling?
Howling?
The Howling 3, The Marsupials.
Oh.
Yeah, exactly. The most famous of the Howling engine.
Yes.
I read...
not the first Howling film.
It's the third.
The first one is the most famous.
No. But the third is the most famous because it's
marsupials.
The marsupials and has a woman develop a pouch and get a were kangaroo.
A were Joey.
Oh.
Huh?
A were Joey.
A were Joey.
Baby kangaroos are
yeah,
Joey.
Oh, yeah. 10 points. 10 points
what's
to Gryffindor.
What's the name of that film? There's a great fucking documentary about us, like Ozploitation films. Called.
So stupid.
What? The Marsupials? I think not quite Hollywood, I think.
Yeah. That's where I learned about Stone.
Yeah.
Or maybe not, but no, I think
they definitely Stone is in there because there's the motorcycle funeral.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Where it's like a procession of like fucking hundreds of motorcycles, and then there's an amazing
sidecar
oh,
hearse.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah, it's really cool.
It's not a hearse, it's a coffin. It's a sidecar coffin.
The
motorcycle.
You're right. The,
yeah.
The sidecar is in fact the coffin.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. But that's it.
Really
not
cool.
Hollywood is a.
I actually own it.
Film.
I will lend it to you if you are at all interested in seeing
that
Stone.
Sounds good. I'm down.
We should all get together and watch Stone.
In return, I will let you guys watch what I think is one of the best Australian films, The Castle.
The Castle?
Have you ever seen The Castle?
What's
it's not really. It's hard to find out this way. I introduced a few Canadians to it earlier this year when they were in Australia. Basically, it's a comedy Very simple. It's just sort of just looking at rural sort of suburban life in Australia. It's about a family that lives near the airport and the government is trying to take their house so they can extend the runway. And it's about them fighting the man.
Just sounds kind of bleak.
It's really funny. Oh, and it actually has... it's actually Eric Bana's first film role.
There it is.
Yep, there it is.
Race? It's also a lot like the first chapter of Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Yeah.
Rice or Reese Iffins? Rice Iffins, Reese Iffins. Is he Australian or Kiwi, actually? Rice Iffins? Reese Iffins?
I don't know who you're talking about.
Deck Chair Danny?
Deck Chair Danny.
He's also... It's All Gone Pete Tong.
He was in...
That ain't Deck Chair Danny. I don't think he's...
The guy that tied all the balloons to his chair and flew away, right?
Yeah.
I think he is... he might be a Kiwi. I'm not sure.
Maybe a Kiwi?
Yeah.
All right. He's also in Pirate Radio, aka The Boat That Rocked.
That movie was great.
It's good.
Very good.
By the way, though, bring it back to Australia. Not quite Hollywood.
Go check out Reese Iffins real quick. You guys talk amongst yourselves.
So what? Branching my thought process from not quite Hollywood to you coming here to work. Is there not a lot of work, or you just like it better here?
What's the scene?
You obviously put on a play. Just
yeah. I mean, the way I kind of explain. Like, the sort of work that I do, independent theatre stuff and improv, is, like, you find work wherever you go, and no matter where you go,
right.
you have to...
It's also in Harry Potter.
...work hard if you want to make it happen.
Yeah.
But I just really love it here, and I've sort of been here so many times through the Fringe Circuit, and, I lived here for a year and a half, and...
Fuck, he's Welsh, so...
Oh, yeah, really?
Like, forget that.
We were way off.
Oops.
Welsh.
I felt he was from the UK.
Yeah.
I didn't want to spoil it.
Because he was in Notting Hill or something, right?
He's in Harry Potter. He's in, like, the last one. He's Luna Lovejoy's father.
Yeah, yeah.
Either way, it's great, and it's All Gone Pete Tong.
Yeah. Yeah, it's all part of the Commonwealth Guards.
I think Deck Chair Danny was Australian, though, the character.
I feel like it was, yeah.
How do you feel about the Commonwealth and the fact that we have our own special games that we're not allowed to, that other countries are not allowed to participate in?
Oh, look, it feels like a bit of a waste of time and money, but,
if you win the gold medal at the Commonwealth, like, say you win it, like, pole vault, you're like, Commonwealth pole vaulting, and you're like, I'm fucking the best... of an exclusionary group of people.
Yeah. Good thing.
Not the best in the world, I'm just the best in an arbitrary selection.
Yeah, yeah, I'm the best in this section of the people.
But it's not even a section. It is global.
Yeah.
But it's excluding a lot of countries.
Yeah, a lot of ones that are quite good at sports
as
well.
Yeah, exactly, that's it. Like, for instance, you're like, imagine if you're like the Commonwealth baseball champion, and America is like, and Cuba are like, go fuck yourself. We are baseball dynamite countries. Go fuck yourself. You're a pretend baseball champion.
Good for you, Commonwealth baseball champion. You know what? I'm sure they're very good in their own right. But I don't know. Does anyone even watch the Commonwealth Games?
I remember it briefly being a bit of a big deal when I was a kid.
It was never a big deal.
The CBC covers it, though.
And I'm waiting for you to tell me when it was a big deal.
When you have two channels.
All right.
Right.
When you have two channels and 50%
when you have very little other choice,
yeah,
Commonwealth
exactly.
Games is where you go.
Exactly. I feel like there was as a kid, I had maybe three or four, because there was a Winter Games and a Summer Games that fell into it. I had a large sporting event obsession for a couple years.
Okay.
Between like ages like 8 and 12.
What was your television situation as a child?
Well, in Australia, growing up, I think we would have had about 5 channels.
It's better than an English person in Quebec.
Yeah, it seems...
We get 2. English, we get 2.
Yeah.
We recently got a 3rd.
Yeah, you have 2, 7, 9, 10, and SBS, which was sort of like the foreign channel that would
SBS?
Show... SBS? Yeah, so growing up in like the 80s and like to the early 90s, SBS would be like the only place you could stay up late, and if you were lucky after parents went to bed, you put on SBS, there might be a movie with some boobs in it, you know?
Nice. What was the deal with SBS?
Like? So it shows sort of like a lot of foreign films and like
so you're
more
talking
art
like
house stuff.
Emmanuel in space.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you know what Emmanuel is?
No, I don't.
It's like a well-known series of softcore...
Yeah, French art films.
Yeah, a lot of short films and anything that was a bit risque. And it's a bit more family-friendly these days.
The Proposition.
No, but that, I know that... Guy Pearce...
Are you going to propose to the guest again?
Nick Cave? Is Nick Cave Australian?
Nick Cave did the soundtrack for that, yeah.
And he wrote the script as well.
Yeah.
Is he Australian?
Yes.
The Bad Seeds? Are all the Bad Seeds Australian?
I don't know if all the Bad Seeds are. I don't know. think
some
so.
So this is Shane Adams' act. Talks about Australia. Well,
these
Keith
are some things
Keith
that we know.
Keith and Walter ask him ignorant questions.
Yeah. Kylie Minogue.
Australian. Spot on. Nailed
it. Very short.
Really?
Yeah, she's incredibly short. She's like 5'2 or something, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Great looking name. Dame Edna.
Dame Edna Everidge.
Australian.
Yeah. Australian.
Apparently, with Kylie Minogue, they shoot her. They do a lot of tricks of perspective and stuff like that in her music videos.
Oh, yeah.
To make her dancers not look like obscenely tall.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
she's very short. Lots of heels and lots of sort of upshots,
exactly,
focusing on her
exactly.
butt.
Like what they did to the Hobbits in Lord of the Rings.
In many ways. Yes.
So, what inspired you to get into this? While you're sitting there in Australia.
The Hobbit was filmed in New Zealand, not Australia.
That is correct. But New Zealand is very close to Australia. Geographically.
I don't even like talking to Australians about New Zealand. I know it's a sore point.
Is
Australia more of a sore point for Kiwis?
I don't know.
Is it just me, or does it seem that it's a little racist to say Kiwis? Like, I understand it's totally accepted and they have no problem with it.
It's always seemed a little racist to me too, but it's like, I don't.
It's like how you can call gypsies in Canada, but you cannot call gypsies in. It's a real racist term in Europe.
Okay, but an Australian, someone from Australia is an Australian.
Yeah.
Someone from New Zealand is a
New Zealander.
No one says that.
Yeah.
I think that's what you should say.
See, I think it comes from Australian, just like, we shorten everything.
Yeah.
You know, if we can say it a shorter way, we will.
But are you guys so pressed for time?
Kiwi isn't short for anything, though.
No, but it's a lot shorter than saying New Zealander.
Right?
Right.
We ain't got time to say all those syllables, man. We got stuff to do.
Have you ever been in New Zealand?
I haven't. No,
really?
I'd like to go.
So it's not that close, apparently.
Well, it's close, but I just have sort of never had any
spend your money
reason
coming
to go
to Canada.
There. Yeah, exactly. I spent all my fringe bucks coming over here.
By the way, I was actually at a question, though, that was tying in what we were talking about with what we should probably be talking about. Which is, you have 5 channels in Australia.
Yeah.
And which of those 5 channels, and is it the nudie French films on late at night on SPS, that inspire you to get into theater?
It's probably none of those channels.
Not even the nudie French films.
Not even the nudie French films. Probably no. It would probably be the ABC, which is the Australian Broadcasting Corporation, you know, the national station that played all the sort of children's shows and stuff I grew up, and the sort of the things that, you know, inspired me as a young person.
Did you have a eureka moment where you're like, I want to do that? Or was it just like a slow burn that like built up inside of you?
I mean, I remember the first time I ever did any kind of acting, and I was in grade 4, and I had sort of one of those teachers that is quite good at recognizing, you know, the shy kid in the class and you know, trying to push them out of their shell a little bit, you know.
They're
and
like,
that,
you'll be Abraham Lincoln. And you're
you'll
like, no!
Well, no.
I don't know why he would be Abraham Lincoln.
And now the Australian production of The Story of Abraham Lincoln, told by 4th graders. This is a strange context. I remember being, you know, cast in the play and really enjoying that and doing it all throughout high school. And yeah, by the time it was time to go to university, I got into 2 courses that I applied for that I wanted to do, and that was either the acting course at Whopper, the one that I ended up doing, or graphic design, which had I done, I would be a lot more well off monetary-wise right now. But I stand by my decision.
You can still get into acting. I mean, nothing's stopping you.
That means
absolutely.
You can always have great posters.
Yeah, well, I mean, I still end up doing all my own design stuff, so it's still a passion that I
What's the union
do.
Situation like over there?
It's a lot easier to get into than it is over here as an actor. Like, here, I know you have to do lots of things to get, like, credits and certain things to get in the union, and it seems like a real pain.
Those aren't the only things you gotta do to get into the union.
Ooh.
Walters is making the blowjob hand gesture right now. Yeah,
no, I'm just looking. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, he's got lust in his eyes. In Australia, basically, if you want to join the union, you just pay a fee.
Really?
You just pay a fee, and you're
in
the union.
Which is, like, realistically how it should be.
Have you paid said fee?
No, I've never needed the union.
You have no interest in being...
Not really. What have they ever done for me, Walter? Nothing.
Well, you're not in it, so I don't know what you think they would do for you.
The only benefit...
I don't think you understand how the union...
The only benefit that the union would have in Australia...
Yeah, but I feel like it isn't too much for anybody here, either.
It would.
No, it lets you get more work, but they don't, like, provide benefits and shit.
You could pay more.
Yeah. But there's no actual... The real benefits of a union are supposed to, like, protect you and pay you when you can't work and all that stuff. And apparently the acting unions here do not do that.
But how is the more pay thing not the biggest benefit of all?
But it's so fucking arbitrary, because a director should be able to work with whoever he wants to work with.
Yeah. It seems like a real pain. Because, like, even when I was doing films and stuff over here, it was difficult because certain people I wanted to, you know, that were just, like, my friends that I wanted to be involved couldn't because, you know, they were with the union or they weren't with the union, and, you know, that has to be a certain... Yeah. Very confusing.
Do you know Holly Gautier Frankel, right?
AKA yes.
Miss Sugarpuss?
Absolutely.
She runs the union here.
Oh, right.
Mm-hmm. A union.
Does that mean she can get us some sweet hookups?
No, she doesn't run the union. She's a representative.
She thinks she's a rep. She's a rep of some kind. Either way, I'm a big fan of...
She was also the voice of Bugs Bunny.
Huh?
Wow. She was also the voice of Bugs Bunny.
There you
She's
go.
Also the voice of... what's
Power
her name?
Girls.
That character from Arthur.
D.W.
No,
Arthur.
Not D.W.
Girl Arthur.
Either way, I'll show you the link if you go back to Holly's episode of Go Plug Yourself. I put a link to an amazing clip on YouTube of someone remixing her character's work into, like, terrible electronic, like, dance, like...
Amazing.
All because of the union.
Ah.
All because of the union. Yeah, no, she has to be heavily unionized. She's a voice actor on a syndicated children's TV show. Like,
I did not know that.
Yeah.
This is good to know.
Recurring character. Anyway, I think that you should at least... Or maybe like a union pass. Like if a unionized director wants one of you two, I'm pointing to Walter and Shane, not the other people in the room.
We should start our own union.
We should start our own union.
You ever see Hoffa? Jack Nicholson?
That's the plot of that film.
About unions.
Let's do it.
Yeah, Jack Nicholson, Australian.
What would we call it? It would have to be a clever name that incorporates our own style, maybe where we're from.
Hoffa. Shane Adams, Zach, and Walter J. Lang are Hoffa.
Whoa, boom. It's catchy.
The R is the letter R.
Oh, with a backwards R, like
Hoffa?
Toys R Us,
yeah.
Maybe?
R. Hoffa. Shane Adamczak and Walter J. Ling, backwards letter R, like Toys R Us, Hoffa.
Or Hoffa.
Yeah.
The union, comma.
We play one
union.
Person.
The musical.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's never really differentiated, and there's never really, like, just at different points of the movie, it's the same character throughout.
Okay, that's good. I like it.
I would put your P.O. box in the name also, so people know where to send their union fees.
Yeah, and maybe, like, an email address.
And we also play each other's romantic
interests. At gmail.com.
Yeah, but just be, like, we'll have a Hotmail address or something.
Shane Adamczak and Walter J. Ling are Hoffa, the union, at AOL.ca.
Oh, man.
That's how it goes.
Podcast has gone off the rails.
A little bit.
Yeah.
No, we're going to pull back in. We're going to pull back in like 2-3 minutes.
Well, but I want to get to Shane plugging more things.
Okay.
He's got like a butt ton of stuff to plug.
Well, no, but
wow.
We should do that after 5 questions. Oh, you did it.
This did it.
Said yeah. Butt ton?
I said a butt ton of stuff to plug. I'm like, that's unfortunate.
You made the joke.
Didn't do it on purpose. Realized it as I was saying it.
So, usually we do that after 5 questions, though. But we can bring that up before.
What?
The other stuff that they plug.
This is going to only lead us into more tension, so we might as well get on it now.
Okay.
So you're sticking around, obviously, for the Fringe Festival this year.
Yeah, I'm here in the country till the end of the Montreal Fringe.
Okay.
Which I'm super excited about. It's going to be great.
Do you have a Fringe show coming up?
I do. I'm doing a sketch show this year, so I'm not doing a one-man show for the first time. It's a sketch show with two friends of mine. It's called Bananarama Lama Ding Dong.
That's why the posters. Now I remember.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah, it's a sketch show with two Australians, one Montrealer. It's very strange. Involves lots of bananas, lots of food, a lot of mess. It's a very messy show. Which is
stage techs are going to love that.
Oh, they are going to love us so much.
What's your venue?
We are at the Spanish Club.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
It's going to go over super well.
So our show involves lots of mops and lots of paper towels. But
Stevie's at the guy we were talking about before. He's at the Spanish Club as well.
So it's going to be a lot of fun. So we're doing a Fringe show. We're also doing one of the spots in Sketchfest this year at Theatre St. Catherine, which is going to be a lot of fun. So we're doing...
Very cool. I had volunteered myself to host that, but I was completely ignored.
What? Well, I am now officially outraged.
Alan Merseca, a friend of the podcast, if you're listening to this,
right,
have me host something. When is that? When's the schedule?
It starts next Monday, I believe.
It's
pretty soon. It's
that.
Like next week.
Hmm?
I said, probably not hosting that.
Maybe there'll be a last-minute cancellation. You're not involved this year. Last year you had a sketch.
Last year I had a troupe.
That's right.
That was the beginning of the Summer of Darkness.
But was that experience?
Sketchfest was the official start of the Summer of
Darkness.
Official
kickoff to the Summer of Darkness. So maybe it's best that you skip this one.
And
Walter had a Summer of Darkness.
Oh, man.
Which is basically exactly what anything you imagine a Summer of Darkness might entail.
I feel like I want to ask you, but I feel maybe I should ask you when we finish the podcast.
The podcast was recording during it, and Walter had to start podcasting. It was just Summer of Darkness.
It was just me getting fucked up a lot.
Okay, great.
Anyway. Last year I had the troupe, and I hosted, and this year I'll probably be doing nothing.
But to be fair...
L.A., where you at, man?
L.A.
We met your kids. L.A.
We also met your neighbor's kids.
We met your neighbor's kids.
LA's schedule was...
My girlfriend gave you a lift one time. Why ain't having me host no shit?
Come on, man. Don't you remember that lift?
Yeah, LA's schedule was such that he was one of the... I think one of three or four out of the 60-some-odd episodes.
LA has like 9 children.
That
right?
Invited us into his home. So we went to his home to record. And there was just kids running
Kids
around.
Everywhere.
Wow.
They were like the neighbor's kids.
Most of which were his.
Amazing.
Because he's like a genetic jackhammer.
Yep.
LA, I'm saying only nice things about you, man.
Oh, yeah.
Have me host for no money.
Okay. 5 question time,
Walter? I think I got money last year. LA, man. Have me host.
Time questions.
Do a 5 question segment.
Sure, okay.
So these are the same 3 questions to each and every guest.
Right.
And it's 1 question from the previous guest asked forward in time to you.
Oh, cool.
And then the tables are turned and you get to ask... I guess a question into the future.
Oh, future question.
Exactly,
okay.
Without knowing who the guest is. So
cool.
We don't, because we. I mean, we do. We know who the guest is. No, we don't. Where are the questions?
Question number 1.
What?
Which one of these celebrities is not Australian?
Okay.
Is it Sam Neill?
This is for the listeners.
The Dalai Lama.
Oh.
Or Laura Dern.
Gonna have to say the Dalai Lama.
Incorrect. Dalai Lama is a citizen of the world.
Boom!
Whoa.
Boom!
What?
That means he's got a citizenship everywhere.
Oh, all right.
And it's Laura Dern. All right.
You win this round, Wing.
Gets every guest.
Yeah.
All right. What's the actual first question?
What did you want to be when you grew up?
Before I realized it was an unobtainable goal, I wanted to be Optimus Prime when I was a very young child. You can't grow up to be an animated truck robot. You can't. It's just not possible.
Maybe you should have tried harder.
Whoa. To the youth listeners of Go Plug Yourself.
I'm sorry.
That is not
shattering true. Dreams.
Not true.
But no, he was a big hero of mine growing up. So
I was an inanimate robot before the podcast started. Do you not remember that?
Amazing.
I was talking through Keith's
computer.
He was
a robot.
I was Keith's robot computer robot.
So you wanted to be Optimus Prime?
I wanted to be Optimus Prime.
What kind of salary do you think came with being Optimus Prime?
I don't know. I guess you don't really need much when you're a truck. And, you know, just enough money for petrol.
Yeah, but gas, every now and then Optimus Prime is like, shit, I gotta take this like long haul cab to like make
every now and then just, you know, get a new paint job and stuff. Yeah.
They don't need petrol though.
That's true.
They're
sentient beings.
They run on energon. They run on energon.
So I don't know how much like cash monies those transformers.
How does energon work? Like, but aren't they like perpetual motion machines? Like, don't they?
No. But energon is an incredibly efficient energy.
They don't need to fuel up ever though.
But no, they do. But just very infrequently.
When do you ever see them fueling up?
In the movies or in the TV show?
Anywhere.
In the TV show, you see them fucking going after energon quite frequently.
Yeah, it was kind of a main plot point.
To Cybertron to get more energon.
I've never.
It was just like a big purple cube.
Yeah, like glowing in pink.
Glowing cube, yeah.
It had a lot of mystical properties, because apparently also at one point Starscream steals some, like, energon cubes with some, like, AI bits, and literally just, like, dumps them in a truck, and it becomes a transformer. It's very powerful stuff.
Question number 2.
Question number two is, have you seen the picture of Optimus Prime riding a dinosaur for the Transformers
yes.
4 poster?
It looks pretty tense.
Yes,
no,
I have.
It doesn't.
What?
It looks
I've
terrible.
Seen.
It looks amazing.
If you were wondering if they were going to ruin Dinobots, the answer
is yes.
How does that not look awesome? I haven't watched like the last two Transformers movies because I don't give a shit. I saw that poster, I'm like, I kind of want to see that.
Worst.
What's the matter with that?
Whenever I see posters for new Transformers films, are you a 30 Rock fan at all?
Yes. Have you seen the trailer where he's fighting this dinosaur?
I don't care at all. But anyway, when Liz Levin is like having the crisis about like being a comedy writer or just a writer in general, and she's like running through New York City, and there's like a poster like Transformers 5, and like underneath it says written by nobody. And she's like, no. I was like that. When I saw Optimus Prime riding a dinosaur, I was like, written by nobody.
It looks so cool.
Yeah. I don't understand. I don't know. How does this not speak like to your inner like?
Written by a big group of people that want to sell toys.
Yeah,
you guys are
exactly.
Being really cynical. Like, it looks amazing. Like, that's going to be like the one cool part of that movie.
I can't let go of my 80s nostalgia of Transformers and how much Michael Bay is ruining it. But I try to be open-minded.
Yeah. I saw the first one, was thoroughly disappointed. The second one came out. My girlfriend and I had just started dating. And she's not really nerdy or geeky, but I'm a pretty big nerdy geek. So she was like, as like kind of a grand gesture, but as a gesture, she was like, I'm going to get tickets and we're going to go to the midnight showing of Transformers. My geeky boyfriend will love this. And I was like, oh, fuck, I really didn't enjoy the first one, but my girlfriend just did this thing. I'm going to go to Transformers for a midnight screening of Transformers 2. And she quickly realized that it was A, terrible, and B, that I hated it. And she looked at me at one point during the film, and she, like, nudged me, and she was like, you look like you're in pain. And I was like,
yeah.
I kind of want to leave, but we're other people's rides.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like they seem to be, for some reason, having a good time. But
did you get a handy out of the deal?
Hmm?
Did you get a handy out of the deal?
Probably, after.
And
yes.
Many years later, they're now married.
Not quite. We've been together 6 years.
Hey! It's pretty good. This is what we've learned, is that Transformers 2 is not enough.
Not enough
to destroy true love.
That's true.
Are we only at real question number two?
Real question number two is, who is the greatest person of all time?
Again, Optimus Prime.
There it is.
Awesome. Correct.
Keep it fresh.
5 points on the board for Shane Adams. What is the worst fashion choice you've ever made?
Worst fashion choice... Oh, man, there's so many. I had quite long hair when I was in year 10 at high school. And not like
long hair?
Yeah, like long hair. Not like cool Kurt Cobain grunge Nirvana hair. It was more like...
Was it Kurt Cobain grunge Nirvana hair in your mind?
In my mind, yeah. But in looking back at it now, I look more like one of the guys from Hanson. Yeah, you know.
Or
and Jack, you know,
Kroger.
Oh, no, not that bad. I wouldn't... No. But I mean, like many years later, I grew my hair long again, and it grew long, better the second time.
It grew long, better.
Yeah.
So
once I had a bit more puberty.
Can you send us a photo
body.
Of this long hair?
I don't know if that's something I want to be available to.
Can I just see it, maybe?
Yeah, I'll show you guys.
I promise I won't post it on the internet.
Okay. Well, then I'll hook
I
you guys
no
up
such
then.
Promise.
Yeah.
Oh shit. Okay. So long hair.
Long hair.
Long handsome hair.
The first attempt at long hair, I would say, is my worst fashion decision.
You might be winning 5 questions.
Huh?
You might be winning 5 questions.
He's doing very strong.
He's doing pretty good.
He's doing strong. 2 answers with Optimus Prime are almost game breakers. Our fourth question. Do you remember our fourth question? This is from Kyle Alat.
Oh.
Another fringe performer.
Yeah, I know Kyle. Great guy.
Thespian again.
Alat.
Here. Kyle Alat.
What's the question? I don't remember the question.
If you had to guess. What do you think Craig Kilborn is up to right now?
Oh, yeah!
What do I think Craig Kilborn,
is up to
right now?
At this very moment.
Right
Don't
now.
Think about it too much.
He's in a room, just going over
but now
the,
you're like, you're
over the
like
dailies.
A he's in a room.
He's
I
in
see
a room. I see 5 men. They all have newspapers and tablets, and they're all working out the news stories. Does Craig Kilborn even have a show still? I don't
know.
No, he doesn't, right?
He's somewhere in the depths of obscurity. Like.
Yeah, see, he never... His show was never broadcast in Australia, so I only know of Craig Kilborn from when it was announced after Letterman. Like, in the credits will say, stay tuned for Craig Kilborn, right?
Yeah.
But
then you would get...
But they didn't play his show after.
Who is this man?
It's the same thing. Like,
do you
when
know what Cricket one looks like, or do you just?
I can't even picture him. I just know
it's
of
really
him.
Funny.
Because now, when Letterman finishes in Australia, it says "Stay tuned for Craig Ferguson," right? But Craig Ferguson's show is actually shown earlier than Letterman in Australia.
Really?
It's very confusing, you guys. I don't know why they don't just change the credits.
What channel?
It's on channel 9, I think, in Australia.
They just have channels? You said, like, channel, like, 1, 4, 7, 9, and SBS.
Yeah, well, they have a lot more channels now.
Yeah, no, but back in the day, like, what was 2 and 3? Nothing?
2 was ABC.
Okay.
Yeah.
I made up the numbers, but I'm just saying, but, like, you said there were, like, gaps.
I don't know. I guess there was just nothing on them. It was static, I guess. I don't know
like,
why.
I think that, like, when they finished, they did channel 7, the next channel would be 8, but they were like, no, just jump ahead to 9.
Yeah, we'll do 9. We'll have 10.
It's amazing. And now your chance, Shane. This is the big moment.
Oh.
Flip the script and...
So it could be to anybody, right?
Could be anybody. Musician, comedian, artist, wrestler, anybody.
All right, my question to you is, next podcast guest, if you had to have a hidden camera show, what would it be called? And what would be, like, your catchphrase when you came out to reveal... You know, like, Ashton Kutcher would come out and say...
So it's like a hidden camera prank show.
Like a prank show, yeah. Okay. So, like, you know, like, candid camera or, like, I don't know what the equivalent would be.
Did you prepare this earlier?
No, I just, off the top of my head. Only because I have thought about...
This is a really good question.
...my answer before, because, like, my last name is...
You're doing really well with
Adam Zach. So mine would be, like, you're a victim of a Zach attack. Like, it has to be, like, a pun on your name, I think. So yours could be, like, you got lynched, or something like that, right?
Yeah.
I'm not saying it's
David Lynch's.
David Lynch's.
Yeah.
David Lynch's.
You've just been lynched! You've got lynched!
But, like, in the prank, because you got lynched.
You got lynched, yeah.
He's like, yay!
So that's my question. What would your hidden camera show be called, and what would be, like, your catchphrase when you revealed the prank?
What would yours be called? Obviously, you've been Zach Attack, because the show is.
Yeah, it would be called Zach, the Zach Attack, yeah.
Is it a kid friendly show? It sounds kid friendly.
Yeah, I think so. Sure, why not? I'm going to say PG-13.
Okay.
Yeah.
Walter, you want to take a go at the question?
I don't know, man. I don't know. Does it have to be? I don't think my name would really work out for
your name.
Title.
Doesn't need to be involved in it. You could just go.
It just helps, you know, if you use some puns.
I'll tell you my favorite one, not mine at all, but the YouTube sensation Kicked in the Balls.
Oh!
I don't know if you ever watched this.
Is that people actually getting kicked in the balls?
No, but it's staged to make it seem like it is. It's like, it looks like a hidden camera show, and it's a guy in a big frizzy... I'm doing this so that you can think of your own, by the way. I'm just keep thinking. It's a guy in a big frizzy orange wig and like a blue jumpsuit, and he just like runs up and like... seemingly just like nails a guy in the balls, and they're like, they fall off, and they're like, they get so mad at him, and he's like, my friend, and he's like, points at the camera, he's like, you've just been kicked in the balls, and then they start cracking up, and they're like, just like slapping their knee, and it keeps like cutting away to the studio audience, just like laughing.
Amazing.
He just runs up and kicks people in the balls.
I know what mine would be. I know the concept.
Okay.
Okay, it'd be called Walter Gets Scared.
Alright.
Walter Gets Scared. And you know, because you know how a lot of these prank shows or these hidden camera shows, it's like it's startling people or
right.
or scaring people.
Sure.
I would just go out there and I would just get like unreasonably frightened and startled by just you know, just regular things.
Cool. So it's always you getting
It's always
pranked.
Me.
Right, okay.
And then people's reactions to like me being unreasonably afraid of things.
So just sort of like someone's like, here's your coffee, that'll be $3 and you're like,
or if you're like in a supermarket and it's like clean up aisle 3 and you just freak out.
Yeah. It'd be great. Writes itself. It'd be like 3 episodes.
Catch phrase.
I would give that 3 episodes before it was cancelled, for sure. Oh, my dick!
Oh, my dick is the catchphrase?
Yeah.
You know what? Like, you've just been, oh, my dick!
Despite what you've been scared by, it's always, oh, my dick.
Sorry, the catchphrase is, are you alright, sir?
Are you all right, sir?
Yeah, that's the name of the show. Actually,
like that. You're actually on our. Are you? And it's your goal is to make people say, "Are you all right, sir?"
And if they say it, they get a cash prize. That's how it'll work.
Exactly.
Are you all right, sir? Oh! Ding 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 ding! Like all confetti flies down. Amazing.
So you asked, "Are you all right, sir?"
Oh, I said it.
I never am.
Am
And at the end of episodes, while the credits are playing, you show a montage of all the people not quite saying the catchphrase. Like, yeah.
People just
you okay, man? Oh!
What the fuck's the matter with you?
Is he okay? Oh!
You need help, buddy?
No.
No.
$100 today, but you yeah. fucked it up by asking if I was all right.
Dude! Nah. This thing sells itself.
Shane Adams, Zach.
You're not doing one?
Nah, I can't think of a shit. There it is. I can't think of a shit. It's the name of my reality friend show.
No, that's it. And you wait for people to ask you instructions or directions or advice or
exactly.
something.
And you just like a long time.
I can't think of shit. You drive into, you go through the drive-through window of like a fast food place, and you just sort of pause and like, sir, what would you like to order? Oh, I can't think of a shit.
No, but I didn't even say I can't think of shit. I said I can't wait for a shit. Was what I actually said. What I actually said makes even less sense.
Wow.
I can't wait for a shit. It was just me looking a little uncomfortable, and people ask me what's the matter. I say, I can't wait for a shit.
Wow.
Number
and
three.
The show is called Time for Poop.
Oh, cool.
Time for poop. So what time is it? Time for poop.
What? And yeah, oh, so good. Yeah, the voice of going, what time is it? And the whole audience goes, time for poop.
I can't wait for shit, man.
I can't wait for shit.
I can't wait for shit. Bum, 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 bum,
bum. Number three. Number three. It's number three podcast.
This is how you guys do it. This is how you win the big bucks.
Fuck.
Still, congrats on the number
win
three.
The hearts and minds of our listeners. Souls eventually.
Oh, man, I really wish you would have recorded me speaking like a robot in your computer speakers.
No. Because it would not sound like a robot. It would just sound like you yelling. It only sounded like a robot because it was coming out through the speaker.
Also, I was making a robot voice.
Also, you're making a robot voice. So we have Shane Adams, Zach. Which theater are you playing at? I forgot.
That's at Mainline Theater. That's Trampoline.
Friday and Saturday.
Friday and Saturday this week, yeah. Come check it out.
All right. Walter, do you have anything coming up this weekend?
No.
No?
Maybe I'll be involved with Sketchfest next week. Yeah, Alan Berseca, yeah. Well, yeah, man, come on, book me already.
Come on, he met your kids.
It's the One Man Band Festival, guys. Do you know about this?
I've seen a lot of posters around for it.
Yeah, we have a One Man Band Music Festival starting tonight, Thursday, with one man bands. Like, there are over 60 one man or one woman, one person musical performances.
Cool.
Fucking looks really cool.
See, when you say one man band, I picture the guy from, you know, with Mary Poppins with the big drum and the cymbals.
There is also that.
If there's that, I'm there.
Like, there's like, I don't know if you know, Tony Ezzie, who's like a local Montreal musician. He does the thing where you like play instruments and loop themselves over to make music.
Amazing.
But there's also the like big bass drum on the back and like contraptions.
Because that's what I want to see.
Harmonicas and kazoos and squeeze boxes. Like, there's those guys also.
Yeah, because don't get me wrong, I love like a loop pedal used well and effectively. Like, you know, super cool and impressive and everything. But man, to see the guy with the bass drum and the cymbals on his knees.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what I
want to
check that out.
Yeah, so that's also in
like a whistle weekend. Like strapped to his hat and stuff.
It's all up in Mile End Plateau area too. So you can do you book yourself a double feature if you go
fantastic.
To Shane's show and find a one man band musical performance.
Exactly.
Over. So do that this weekend, guys. Just go plug yourself, Walter.
Yeah. Thanks, Shane.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Number three.
Those sweet, sweet piano tunes you're listening to right now come courtesy of Leland Beckman and Oral Turpitude. Oh man, that was some great podcasting, wasn't it? Anyhow, be sure as always to like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, add us on iTunes, buy our stuff, and basically try as hard as you can to make us happy in every single way possible. Of course, be sure to check back every day on 9to5.cc for comics on Wednesdays, podcasts on Thursdays, Scott or Sophie's art on Fridays, and seriously, we'll try as hard as we can to get Zombies and Loathing, Fuck Mondays, and Templars back as soon as we can. Thanks for listening, everyone.
9to5.cc. We're not working. Why should you?